Our Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We ask that you be gracious not only to the one who speak, but to those who hear. And how you bless Paul in 2,000 years ago and transform his life. And I pray that you do the same to each and every one of us, especially to the saint in the Apostolic Bible Church of Alberta. And so that we can carry the baton and finish the task and finish it well, so that we want to come before you to hear your praise from your mouth, the blessing from you, not only in this life and also in the life to come. Hear my prayer, listen to my cry for mercy, and I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to go back to chapter 3, verse 10. Two words that I want you to circle. Verse 10 is intent. And then verse 11, his eternal purpose. That is God the Father intends in verse 10. And in verse 11, that's God the Father's eternal purpose. Right beside intent and his purpose, you write down, that is God's will. Make sure you know that. You write down 3:10, 3:11. And then you write down Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who call me Lord, Lord, be able to enter the kingdom of God, but only those who do the will of the Father. If you don't know his will, how can you do his will? You have to know his will first in order to be able to do his will. Right beside his intent, you write down, that's not the intent of Paul. That's the intent of the Heavenly Father. Because God reveals his will to him. Not very many people know the will of the Heavenly Father. And take a look at what Paul say when he gave a testimony in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 22, verse 14. Then he said, the God of our Father has chosen you to know his will. Who said that? Is Ananias said that, verse 12. A man named Ananias came to see me. He was a devout observer of the law and highly respected by all the Jews living there. He stood beside me and said, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at that very moment, I was able to see him. Then Ananias said to Saul, the God of our Father has chosen you, circle the word, to know his will and to see the righteous one and to hear word from his mouth. You will be his witness to all men of what you have seen and heard. Circle the word, his will. Chapter 22, verse 14, his will is God's will. So that's why he talked about his intent. That's why he talked about his eternal purpose. Make sure you come to the church, you know God's will. When Jesus see you by the heaven gate, and then he asks you, why should I let you enter the kingdom of God, what do you say? You say in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, the one who do the will of the Father is the one who be able to enter the kingdom of God. I know his will. I know his intent. I know his eternal purpose. As it is recorded in the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, verse 10 and 11. And he mentioned that. Ananias said to him, God has chosen you to know his will. You know, if God chosen Paul to know his will and his writing, you ignore his writing. You don't understand his will. You don't understand his intention. You think you can go to heaven, brother and sister? Listen to me carefully. Right beside his intent, right beside his will, you write down one thing. Go back to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, you write down 19. To 22. I read that to you. Consequently, you are no longer foreigner and alien, but fellow citizens with God's people and member of God's household. You are supposed to be built on the foundation of the apostle and prophet. You should build on the foundation of the New Testament and Old Testament. You're supposed to know God's word, both from the Old Testament and the New Testament, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together, rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. Verse 22. And in Christ Jesus, you too, you no longer foreigner, no longer alien. You are fellow citizens with God's people. You are a member of God's household. In Christ Jesus, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Make sure your body is God's dwelling. Make sure within your body, you have God's Spirit. You have Jesus Christ lived in you. And you are filled with his Spirit. You are filled with his Word. So that you know his intent. So that you know his eternal purpose. So that you know his will. Do I make myself clear? If you don't study the scripture, no way you know his will. If you study the scripture of Acts chapter 22, verse 14, if you don't realize God has chosen Paul, he used to be called Saul, and God using his mighty power to transform his life from Saul to Paul, from persecuting the church to protect the church, from hating God to loving God. For doing his own will, now doing the will of the Father. Brother and sister, you call yourself Christian. If you do not build your life on the foundations of the apostle and prophet, your body is not God's dwelling. Because God's word is not within you. You may not know the consequences, but according to the Gospel of John, chapter 5, if you do not have the love of God within you and the love of his word within you, you will not know his will. Make sure you study God's word so that you know his intent, you know his eternal purpose, and you know his will in your life. It is a matter of life and death. coming to the church every Sunday, and then at the end of the day, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. This is a joke. This is a waste of time. When God say, let there be light, and there was light, and whatever he say, God say, all the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful for those who keep the demand of his covenant. The demand of his covenant is the one who do his will. Turn to Psalm 25, and I want you to memorize it. Psalm 25, verse 10. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful for those who keep the demand of his covenant. The demand of his covenant, you write that down. I change that. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful for those who keep the will of our Heavenly Father. Keep his intent, keep his eternal purpose. Build your life. I say that again and again. And I know when Jesus Christ asked you by the heaven gate, why should I let you enter into the heavens? And I know I will be able to stand at the right side of my Lord Jesus Christ because I study his word. And I will look at your eyes and you look at my eyes. And I'm going to see how you're going to answer the question. And if you cannot answer, no one can help you. Okay? You cannot answer now, you can call Pastor John. But by that time, you can ask nobody. If you keep the word of God within your heart, you say to Jesus, not everyone who call you Lord, Lord, will be able to enter the kingdom of God. Only those who do the will of his Father will be able to enter the kingdom of God. And I do your will. Then he asks you, what is my intent and what is my eternal purpose? His intent is through the church to make known the manifold wisdom of God to those who are in authority and who are ruler of the heavenly realm. Did you make known the word of God to the ruler and authority of the heavenly realm? You say, Pastor John, how do I preach to the angel? No, let me tell you one thing, my brother. When Paul talked about the ruler and the authority of the heavenly realm, he wants you to make sure. I want you to circle this portion of the scripture. You write the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. When you preach the gospel, when you preach the gospel to the Gentile, as a matter of fact, you are preaching. You are preaching to the ruler and authority of the heavenly realm. You preach to the evil spirit. You say, Pastor John, can you make plain so that I can understand what you're trying to say? Now I make it more plain. When you preach the gospel, you're not fighting. You're not fighting with the non-Christian. You're fighting with the evil spirit that within his heart. You write down 2-2. Okay? You write down 2-2. You know who is controlling the non-Christian? It's the evil spirit. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. The evil spirit is at work in those two who disobey the Father. If you disobey God, that means evil spirit is at work in your life. If you can preach the gospel to the Gentile, to the non-Christian, if they believe, that means you overcome the ruler and authority of the heavenly realm. I want you to write that down. Right beside 2-2, Ephesians, you write down 2 Corinthians, 4:4. Those who disobey God, those who doesn't understand the will of the Father, they are the one blinded by the God of this age, by the evil spirit, by Satan. Brother and sister, when you preach the gospel, make sure you understand, when he argues with you, actually he's not arguing with you. It's the evil spirit is arguing with the Holy Spirit. If you build yourself on the foundation of the apostle and prophet, that means you fill yourself with the word of God. When you speak as if Paul is speaking. When you speak as if Jesus Christ is speaking through you. That's why Paul said that. I did my job. I know his intent. I know his eternal purpose. And God transformed me with his mighty power, changed my life, so that I can preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. On top of that, I can make known to everyone the administration of his mystery, the mystery of Jesus Christ. Not only able to preach, but to make plain, so that everybody understands what you're talking about. Brother and sister, if you read the scripture, you don't understand, how can you lead people to Christ? Spend more time, brother and sister, listen to me. You don't go to the battlefield without weapon. You'll be a fool, you know, just like I heard about, you know, the boundary between China and India. And I don't know whether it's true or not, but it's a good thing to hear that. An Indian tried to fight the battle with the Chinese army, but they have no shoes. How can you fight? You know what's the shoes? They put on the gospel. So you're ready to preach. Are you able to preach the mystery of Christ, the unsearchable riches of Christ? Do you study it yourself so that it's within your heart? And then make plain. When people ask you questions, you can make plain to everyone the administration of his mystery. Can you do that? That's the task we have to do. 2:22. Make sure your body is the dwelling of God. Make sure that your body is filled with his word, filled with his Holy Spirit. That is your task. Listen to me, brother and sister. This saying is not saying to the preacher. 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy was written to the preacher. Because Timothy is the pastor of the church of Ephesus. But this Ephesians was written to the saint of the church of Ephesus. He not only required the pastor to know God's will, to know God's intent and God's purpose, he wants each and every one of you to know, because he knows God's intent is that through his church, through the power of the Holy Spirit, so that the church can make known the manifold wisdom of God to the ruler and authority of the heavenly realm. When you fight the battle, as Paul say at the very end of the chapter 6, you put on the full armor of God so that you can fight the good fight. When you fight the good fight, you're not fighting with your human being. Let's say if you preach the gospel to your husband, you're not fighting with him. You're fighting with the evil spirit that is dwelt within him. Do you understand? Brother and sister, do you know you are very blessed today that you can come? At least you know his intent. At least you know his eternal purpose. And Paul said that his intent is not my intent. His eternal purpose is not my eternal purpose. Don't ever think he's asking you to do things that is his will. It is God's will. Do you understand? Brother and sister, if you reject his saying, I'm afraid that you reject our Heavenly Father. And how can you let you enter the kingdom of God? Paul fought the good fight. He ran the race. And he kept the faith. Now it's your turn to fight the good fight, to run your own race, and to keep your faith. Everybody say? I make it very plain because I see that chapter 3 is so important. I don't just jump it. 35 minutes, I finish my sermon, and you don't even understand. I spent close to a month, 4 to 5 sermons, and up to this day. And you miss all this, you'll be in deep trouble. And you say, well, Pastor John, I have already been baptized. That means you don't study the scripture if you boast about baptism. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, all those people who follow Moses has already been baptized into Moses. But after they baptized into Moses, they argue with Moses. They don't understand God's will spoken to them through Moses. And all those people who argue with Moses, they die in the wilderness. Listen to me carefully. You haven't been baptized. I'm going to tell you to be baptized. Now you baptized. You're going to talk about your baptism. Give me a break. When you go and apply for a job, let's say you attend the top-notch kindergarten. Okay, I graduated from the kindergarten of Alberta, the top notch. And now I'm applying for a job, a good job. You write that down, the resume of your kindergarten, or you spend more time to write down your resume of the U of A graduation. Am I right? Don't talk about baptism now. Talk about 2:22 in Ephesians. Do you build yourself up on the foundations of the apostle and prophet? Are you the dwelling of God? Because he loved to dwell in you through his spirit. Do you have his word within your heart? Do you know his will, Moses? You understand what I'm trying to say? Don't be ignorant. Don't ever say, no, this is to the pastor, too high for me. You know what? When you talk about blessing, the higher the better. Do you know that? Don't be a fool. Don't be a sluggard. Don't be a shiftless man. Work hard on it. Okay, keep going. Paul did his job. He preached to the Gentile the unsearchable riches of Christ. Number one. Number two, he made plain to everyone the administration of this mystery. Whatever he preached, he made it clear. Everyone understand. Now he talk about in verse 10. God intent was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the ruler and authority in the heavenly realm. You write that down? Chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's scheme. For our struggle is not against the flesh and blood, but against the ruler and against the authority and against the power of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. You write that down. Chapter 6, 10 to 12. We all want to preach the gospel. You don't even know who's your enemy. You don't even know that you have the manifold wisdom of God within your heart. Because you build your life on the solid foundation of the word of God's word. You understand? You build your life to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You're fighting with the Holy Spirit power. You're fighting with the evil spirit that's inside your very deep, that who disobey God. Do you understand? You don't even know your enemy, and you are not prepared. How can you win the war? Is this a joke? You go to a battlefield without a shoes? What do you mean by without a shoes? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 15. When you go to the battle, make sure that with your feet, fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Make sure you are filled with God's word. That gospel is gospel of peace. Our enemy has no peace, but you have peace. You bestow peace upon them. They say, I like it. I want it. Do you understand? That's how you win the war. Go back. Chapter 3. Now, it is up to the church to fight the good fight, to do his will. Make known the manifold wisdom of God to the ruler and authority in the heavenly realm. Verse 11, according to his eternal purpose, which God accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. I want to circle the word. God accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. Listen to me one thing. If God accomplished his eternal purpose, if God accomplished his intent in Christ Jesus our Lord, should we follow God's footsteps? We should finish our task to make sure the manifold wisdom of Christ, manifold wisdom of God, and make known to the ruler and authority in the heavenly realm in Christ Jesus. If God accomplished his task, his will, his intent in Christ Jesus, we should do the job in Christ Jesus. Everybody say? Now keep going. Let's see what he say. Then he say in verse 12, in Christ Jesus, right away, he followed God's way. Circle the word in him. Right in him, verse 12, you circle the word in Christ Jesus our Lord. And then you write that down. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 and 9. And God said to the sinner, my way are higher than your way. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My thought is not your thought. My way is not your way. You understand? What is God's way then, brother and sister? God the Father accomplished his intent, accomplished his will, accomplished his eternal purpose in Christ Jesus. Should we do our task in Christ Jesus? You write down 3:3, Galatians. How foolish you are. You begin the work in the Holy Spirit and then you finish your work in your own flesh? How foolish you are. Write down Galatians 3:3. Are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal through the will of the Father by human effort? Right beside 3:3, write down the answer, 5:25. You live by the Spirit, and now you walk in step with the Holy Spirit. Now that you have eternal life, Now that you have Holy Spirit within your heart, now that you are God's dwelling, now that your body is the holy temple, now that you have the Holy Spirit within your heart, you've got to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that you can walk in step with the Holy Spirit. Does it make sense? It makes sense. Okay, that's God's way. And that's why Paul say, in him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. And I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my suffering for you, which are your glory. If Paul wasn't suffer for the sake of the Gentile, if God's gifts of God's grace given to Paul wasn't for the Gentile, why is for the Gentile? Because when Paul suffered in the prison, then he knows God's will. He didn't have to go from church to church being busy to preach about the same sermon. He quiet himself and listened to what the Father has to say to him. You're going from place to place, you have no quietness. And Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15 saying, in repentance and in rest is your salvation. In quietness and in trust is your strength. You're going from place to place, you don't quiet yourself. How can God speak to you? How can God speak to you? And you know what happened? At the end of verse 15, Isaiah 30, they don't want it. They don't want salvation. They don't want God's strength. How foolish they are. And they claim to be God's people. They are not God's people. They are enemy of God. You understand? Quiet yourself. Prepare yourself to fight the battle. Go to the place God wants you to go. Speak the very word of God. Preach the unsearchable riches of Christ, the mystery of Christ. And make plain. Make sure when people don't understand and ask the question, you make plain to everyone. Everyone, I mean everyone. The administration of his mystery. Not through your own human effort, through the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm glad Paul chosen, I'm glad God chosen Saul and changed his life to become Paul and reveal God's will to him. And so that I know God's will, which is my glory. You write that down, verse 13. This is my glory. I can enter the kingdom of God. I receive the salvation and I can judge the whole world. According to Psalm 149, verse 4, I have the honor to be saved. Salvation is my honor. He crowned the humble. He crowned the humble with salvation. I have the honor to receive salvation. 149 Psalm, verse 4. And then Psalm 149, verse 9. I have the glory to judge the wicked people. You know why I have the glory to judge it? I preach the gospel to you. And I know I'm not fighting with you. I'm fighting with what is inside you, the ruler and authority of the heavenly realm. And I'm going to judge you. How come you follow the evil spirit and not following the Holy Spirit? You understand? I preach the gospel to you. You reject me. You fight against me, you are dead. We have this kind of glory. We have this kind of honor. I'm glad someone suffered so that I get the honor and glory. And now it's my turn to make known, because I'm the member, according to chapter 3, verse 6, I'm the member together with Israel of that one body. That body, 123, is the church. That body is the body of my Lord Jesus Christ. I'm a member. I do my part. If God's will is to use the church to make known his mystery, and I'm the member, that's my task. Yes, sir. I'm going to do it. Are you going to do it? Write that down, my friend, verse 10 and 11. You write down Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20. Go and make disciples of all nations. Make disciples of all nations. Preach the word of God to them. Make known to them. And then baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And after you baptizing them, listen carefully, Johnny Walker. Teach them to obey the word of God. Then I will be with you to the end of the ages. You don't just baptize, man. I'm not teaching you to obey the word of the Lord. Write down, obey the word of the Lord. You write down Psalm 25:10. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful for all those who keep the demand of the covenant. You do his will, you receive God's love, and he remains faithful forever to you. He will watch over you. Does it make sense, man? Does it make sense? You are very fortunate. You can hear that. God's intent and God's eternal purpose and God's will. Is it good stuff, Hannah? Don't marry the one who go to hell. You understand? Marry the one who is wise to go to heaven. I give you two promises. Since you're not yet ahead, two more blessings. You write down Numbers 27 and number 36. Regarding the five daughters of Zelophehad. That five daughters is very wise. Their father has no son. But according to God's word, the inheritance passed on to the son. Because this five daughter has no brother. They lost their inheritance. They go to Moses, go to the leader. Can I get the inheritance? And God hear them. What they say is right. Give them the inheritance. And then in number 36, the last chapter of Numbers, the leader of Manasseh said that, if these five daughters, they're women, they get the inheritance. If they choose to marry another tribe, a tribe other than Manasseh, that means our inheritance will be lost to another tribe. So the leader complained to the Lord. The Lord said, you're right. So I'm going to give you a requirement. Don't marry any tribe other than Manasseh. You know what the Bible says? These five women choose to obey God. To have inheritance is better than have a good marriage. I know he's tall, dark, and handsome, but it's not as good as the inheritance. Hannah, do you understand what I'm trying to say? Read that. Number 27, number 36. Does it make sense? Inheritance better than marriage. I treat you as if you are my daughter. That's what I said to Joyce. Is it good? Give me five. Yes, my girl. You don't listen to me? No more revelation. I don't give it to you. You listen. The more you listen, the more you receive. The higher blessing you get. Keep going. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. For this reason, you write that down? Verse, chapter 3, verse 1. For this reason. For what reason? You write that down? For this reason, you write down 2:22. In Christ Jesus, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom His whole family in heaven and on earth derive His name. You write that down. Before Paul was changed, his name is called Saul. Now he get a new name called Paul. Before, he's the enemy of God. Now, he's a friend of God. He's the children of God, child of God. Verse 16, I pray that out of his glorious riches, God may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. I want you to write that down. That verse 16, he prayed like that because chapter 3, verse 8. Although I am less than the least of all God's people, his grace was given to me. And verse 7, I became a servant of this gospel by the gifts of God's grace given me through the working of his power. If God did not demonstrate his mighty power to transform Saul's life to become Paul, he won't pray 3:16. He experienced that power of transformation. You can receive the same power of transformation. I read that one more time. I pray that out of his glorious riches, God may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. You write that down. That inner being is from Saul to become Paul through that transforming power. He experienced that kind of power. He asked God to give you the same kind of power. He's a good pastor. Do you understand? He's a very, very good pastor. He don't just get the blessing himself and hide. That's how I get the blessing, and that's how I pray that you get the same kind of blessing. Is it good? Keep going. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. If I make it more clear, I change it like that. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with spiritual power in your body. In your body. That body is the dwelling of God. You know what? If a holy temple has no spirit, that holy temple is not a holy temple. If the holy temple doesn't have the word of God, that holy temple is not a holy temple. Because John chapter 4, verse 24, God the Father requires all the worshiper to worship him, requires all the servant to serve him with spirit and with. If your body has no truth, has no spirit, Your body is not the dwelling of God through His Spirit. Keep going. Why would he pray like that? So that Christ may dwell in your heart through your faith. Because he knows that your inner being is weak. I cannot do that. I don't understand this. I don't understand that. You're asking too much of me. No, he strengthened you with a spiritual power in your inner being. From weakness to be strong. How can you be strong? If Jesus Christ lives in you, you'll be powerful. Then Jesus Christ can speak through you, through your mouth. You write that down. Write down 3:17, Ephesians. You write 2:20, Galatians. And Paul says, the life that I live now is not my own life. The life I live in my body, it is Christ who lives in me. Because I have been crucified with Christ, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. You write that down, right beside 3:17. So that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. Christ lived in Paul. Paul wants you to have Christ to live in you so that you can do the task that God called you to do. His intent is through the church, the manifold wisdom of God be made known to the ruler and authority of the heavenly realm. You understand? So that you can fight the battle. Make sure you have Christ in you. Listen to me one more. In him means him in you. In Christ also means Christ lives in you. Does that make sense? If God accomplished his intent, his eternal purpose in Christ Jesus, should we make known his will in Christ Jesus? Because Jesus said in Gospel of John chapter 15, I am the true vine. You are just the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Make sure the branches link to the true vine so that you get all the power and resources. Does it make sense? In him and he in you, then you can make known the mystery of Christ. Not only be able to preach, but to make known. Not only to man, but to ruler and authority of the heavenly realm. So that you can fight the good fight. Wow, I found out this portion of the scripture is very, very powerful. And then he prayed. He keep on praying. Prayer number two. I pray that you being rooted and established in love. That's very important. You know why a lot of Christians, when they read the scripture, they don't understand? Because they are not rooted in love. They are not established in love. Write that down. Rooted in love, established in love. What does it mean? That means if a tree has no root, the tree will fall down when the storm comes. And what does it really mean? What it really means is Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 to 27. What it means is you have to be a wise builder. You don't build your house on the sinking sand. You build your house on the foundation of the apostle and prophet. When the storm comes, you still can stand firm. What does it really mean? What it really means, being rooted in love, being established in love, means whatever God say to you, you do it. You don't do it, you have no root, you're not established. You just build your house on the sinking sand. When the storm comes, you are gone. you wipe away, you wipe out, you disappear. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Being rooted and established enough, you don't come to the church to listen to sermon, that's all. You come to the church to listen to sermon, understand God's intent and God's internal purpose, and you do it. When you do it, you are rooted and established in love. If a tree is rooted, if a building is established on a solid foundation, doesn't matter when the storm comes, it's still all right. Why? Because the way of the Lord are loving and faithful. Trust all those who keep the demand of God's covenant, who do His will. Because His love and His faithfulness will protect me. He remains faithful forever. The Lord is faithful to all His promises. He promised to carry me through. He will carry me through. He said, let there be light, and there was light. He said that the moment you eat the fruit of the tree of life, the moment you eat the fruit of the tree of knowledge and good and evil, is the moment you die. In chapter 5 of Genesis, they all die except one, Enoch, because he walked with God. Ever since he was 65, he walked with God 300 years. Way before the flood, he was taken up. Don't oppose God's word. When He says He will do it. Now, make sure you are being rooted and established in love. If you are not being rooted and established in love, you have no power to understand God's love. But when you are rooted in love, established in love, verse 18, then you have the power, together with all other saints, to grasp how wide and long, high and deep is the love of Christ. Some people, when they read the Bible, they don't understand because they don't do God's word. Make sure we start doing God's word. Everybody say, that means you are rooted in God's love, you are established in God's love. Right beside rooted in God's love, established in God's love, you write down Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 21. Anyone who has my command, Jesus said, and do it, is the one who loves me. The one who loves me, I will appear to him. And I will love him too. And my Father will love him too. When you experience God's love, because you do God's will, then you have the power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And then once you realize that God's love, Christ's love is so high, so deep, so wide, so long, then you know that His love that surpasses knowledge. Prayer number 3. I pray that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. He prayed that God fill you through His Holy Spirit. God fill you through His Son, Jesus Christ. These 3 prayers, brother and sister, in the coming Wednesday, I want each and every one of them who attend the Wednesday prayer meeting, turn on the chapter 3 of Gospel of Book of Ephesians, pray the 3 prayer for yourself. That is the prayer Paul prayed for us. That's the kind of prayer that I pray until I get it. Does that make sense? Then the manifold wisdom of God will be made known through you. Whoever make known the mystery of God is whoever get the blessing. And then in conclusion, prayer number 4, now to Him is the Father, who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work in us. If you do the Great Commission, you do the Great Task, God's intent was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the ruler and authority in the heavenly realm. You say, here I am, I want to do it. You listen to God, you do it, and he's going to listen to your prayer. He's going to answer your prayer more than what you ask of him. More than what you imagine of him. Because that power is at work within you. The only reason why you can do God's intent, do God's internal purpose, do God's will, because his power in you, because Jesus Christ lives in you. The reason why you can serve God, because Jesus Christ in you. You understand his love. You know that it's good for you to do that. You listen to his voice. He listens to your prayer. In conclusion, to the Father be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. When you receive blessing because he answered your prayer more than what you ask of him, make sure you remain humble. Give all the glory back to God the Father. Our Heavenly Father, hear my prayer. Listen to my cry for mercy. I pray all this in the mighty name of my Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.